We're on Daf Pei Beis Amid Beis, and yesterday we learned the Mishnah, Kama Hushi Uro, what's the shear of Shtei Sudos for an Eruv, and we broke down the Mishnah into two parts. The first part of the Mishnah records a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir as to which meal is the most significant meal, the fattest meal, with the most food on the table, whether it's the chol meal or the Shabbos meal, and we take the lower of those two meals, lakula, to set up bazon shtei sudos. And then the second part of the Mishnah records a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Shimon, because these Tanoim, as opposed to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, they want to give what's called a shir katzuf, something that's absolute, and we'll see it has implications and applications to other areas of halacha, not just to Eruv and Eruvin. So that whereas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda have a certain subjective element, and if your lesser meal is your weekday meal, then that's what's going to be the shear of Mazon Shtei Sudos. If it's, let's say, less than a Beinoni, than an average person, if your meal is a Shabbos meal, is your smaller meal because you want to leave room for Shal Shudas, then that's going to be your shear of Mazon Shtei Sudos. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Shimon are dealing in objective terms, in absolute terms. And let's go over those two shitas. The Gemara, by the way, as we saw yesterday, identifies the bread as the bread of farmers or the bread of a certain location called Nahar Pafaisa. We don't know exactly what those breads are. We had a long discussion about a Gemara earlier that mentions the shear of 18 grogros, which are dried figs, as the shear of Mazon Shtei Sudos. But here we have Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka in the Mishnah, I'm just going back to the Mishnah for a moment, says that we're talking about a loaf of bread that is purchased with a coin, a currency that's called a fudyon. And if you recall, we said that a fudyon is 1/48 of a sela. So there are 48 fudyonim in one sela. Now, how much bread could you buy with a sela? And then we'll divide that by 48 to break it down to a fudyon. Because a fudyon is 1/48 of a sela. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says that a sela will get you 4 se'in of chitin. So again, if you go out to the market, that's what you're going to pay for 4 se'in. And that is going to be that's going to be our calculation here of the kikar, which you can buy with one fudyon. Now, let's see if we can figure this out. What we do is we take 4 se'in, and apparently, the mathematics is that if we divide up 4 se'in, what we end up with is 24 kabim. So, again, if we want to write this down, we need kind of like to chart this all out, but what we have here is the following equation, that 4 se'in of chitim equals 24 kabim. And the reason for that is because one sa'a equals six kabim. So if you multiply six kabim by four, you end up with 24. Right? Because the standard of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, the measurement, is four sin, not one sin. If it was only one saw, it would be six kavim. But we're going to multiply six kavim by four to get 24 kavim. Now, a saw, which equals 48 fujonim, could buy you, a sella. A sella, let me say it again, which is 48 punjonim, will buy you 24 kabim. So if you're going to take 148th, and we're going to multiply 24 kabim by 1 over 48, and we're going to get a half of a kav. So to summarize, the bottom line is that with one funjon, you can buy a half a kav. Now, later on, we're going to turn this into beitzim. I'm not sure if I'm ready for that right now, but that's what we're going to do down the line. Now we get to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is going to identify the shear of Shtei Sudos as Shtei Yodos Lekikar Misholosh Lekav, which means shtei yodos is 2/3 of a kikar. The size of the kikar is such that it has 3 kikros to a kav. So if you're talking about 2/3 of a kikar, and there are 3 kikros to a kav. And keep in mind, Reb Shimon is now talking about one suda. So whatever the answer to this question is going to be, we're going to have to multiply it by 2. And what you're going to end up with is a ratio of 1 to 9. Right? Because we said if it's 2/3 of a kikar, and there are 3 kikros to a kav, so if one seuda is, let's say, 1/9 of a kav, then 2 seudos will be 2/9 of a kav. Let me just go over that one more time so that we can get this down. Again, a kav equals 3 kikros. One kav equals 3 kikros. Right? 3 loaves of bread. That's point number one. Now, if a su'uda, let's say one su'uda would be 1/3 of a kikar. Okay? One su'uda, let's write this down, equals 1/3 of a kikar. And a kav has 3 kikros. So 1/3 of a kikar would be 1/9 of a kav. But Rav Shimon says shtei yodos lekikar because he's multiplying it by 2 in order to get 2 seudos. Now let's go over this. According to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, we said that there are only 4 seudos to a kav. And therefore the shear of Shtei Sudos, we said, was a Chatzi Kav. So the shear of Shtei Sudos, according to Rabbi Yochanan, was a Chatzi Kav. Okay. Now, what's the shear of Shtei Sudos according to Rabbi Shimon? I think it's 2/9 of a Kav. Did I get that right? Just want to make sure I got that right. Somebody should say that explicitly. Let me just open up the English for a second, because I don't see it explicitly in the Hebrew. Just bear with me for a second, because if I don't do this myself, at least to get the basics of the sugya, I'm not going to be able to get it down. Okay. Now, according to Shimon, right, the loaf of bread is 1/3 of a kav, and 2/3 of a loaf has the measurement for 2 meals, which is the requirement for the Eruv. So therefore, the entire loaf is 1/3 of a kav, and that's sufficient for 3 meals. Right? Because we said each meal is 1/3 of a kav. Just 1 second. Each loaf is 1/3 of the kav. And 2/3 of the loaf is enough for 2 meals. And 1/3 of a kav is enough for 3 meals. So according to Rav Shimon, the quantity of bread necessary for 1 meal is, I think it says 1/3 of a kav, of 1/3 of a kav. And that's for what? For 1 meal. 1/3 of a kav. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan held that for 2 meals, you need 1/2 a kav. Now, according to Rav Shimon, for 2 meals, you would need what? You would need 2/9 of a kav. Why is it that this is so difficult? What is it that just doesn't let me break through this Rav Shimon? I'm going to read it again, and it gets me very frustrated. Why? In other words, I consider myself of average intelligence. The pedagogy should be such that it should be clear to someone of average intelligence. So what is Rav Shimon saying over here? The loaf is 1/3 of a kav. Right, which means that 3 kikros equals a kav. And somehow, what we have to get is that the shear of 1 suda is 1/3 of a kikar. And a kikar is for 3 sudos. Let's see if that's what he says over here. 2/3 of a kikar is enough for 2 meals, right? Because the kikar is 1/3 of a kav. So then, now, if, again, let me just, I'm just trying to, if once I get this, I think I'll be okay. And I really apologize, but believe it or not, I spent a lot of time on this. It's not like I'm coming in here and I'm playing games with you. I did spend time on this. But I still don't have it. But I think I'm on the way, even though, again, in pedagogy, this is, I would not give him a great grade for this, in my humble opinion. Anyway, So again, we're talking about a kikar, which is 1/3 of a kav. So that means that one kav equals 3 kikros. Okay. Now, if that be the case, then now, let me just, I'm sorry, I just, not sure if this is going to help me, but I have a very small Gemara here. Not sure if this will help, but I'll give it a try. Okay, so now, if I understand correctly, for one meal, for one suda, right, we're going to need 1/3 of a kav. So far, so good. Now, if I understand correctly, then for two su'udos, we would need 2/3 of a kav.
Two-thirds of a kav or two-thirds of a kikar.
I just, if you don't mind... Oh, I see what's going on. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Steve. Say it again.
Is it of a kav or a kikar?
He says here that 2/3 of a kikar contains the measure for two meals. Okay. And now, let's say you have 3/3 of a kikar. That should be for three meals. Now, how many kikros are there in a kav? There are 3 kikros. So 1/3 of a kav is enough for three meals. So far, so good, correct? Because again, if we're saying that a kav has 3 kikros, and all I need for a suda is 1/3 of a kikar, then two sudos, just one second, then for two, if one suda is 1/3 of a kikar, and there are 3 kikros in a kav, it seems to me that it comes out to 2/9. Am I making a mistake over here? I don't know. I don't see 2/9 over here. Does anybody see 2/9?
Yes.
You do? Where do you see that?
I worked it out. I'm not sure I can do it again.
Ah, no. I was just... what I'm concerned about is that I have two different translations of the Gemara, and neither of them says that according to Rav Shimon, it's 2/9 of a kav. Am I missing something here?
It's 2/3 times 1/3 equals 2/9.
2/9, right.
Right, I don't think it says it explicitly like that. No, you have to work it out.
No, I'm just saying, you know, this is supposed to be pedagogic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got the Masifta, the Halaga Masifta. I got the Halaga Art Scroll, and nobody says 2/9. I mean, like, what kind of pedagogy is that? I'm a little bit perplexed by it.
They say Bacharim who really learn Shas very well become very good computer people because they know mathematics. Because they can figure this out.
All right. Okay.
Two-thirds of a loaf, right? There's two meals.
Two-thirds of a loaf is two
one-third
meals.
Of a cop, so 1/3 times 2/3 is 2/9.
Is 2/9. That's what I think. It perplexes me that no one says
this.
All right, I'm going to have to, Steve, I apologize. I'm going to have to ask you to mute yourself because I possibly can't hear myself think. All right. I'm going to need you, Steve, later, so I don't know how we're going to work this out, but we'll figure it out. So let's begin the Gemara now because, again, it would seem that mazon shtei sudos, according to Rabbi Yochanan is a half a kav, and Mazon Shtei Sudos, according to Rabbi Shimon, is 2/9 of a kav. Now, half a kav would mean, let's call it 4.5/9, if you follow what I'm saying, as opposed to 2/9, meaning that Rabbi Yochanan requires twice the amount of Rabbi Shimon, plus twice the amount and more. I mean, 4/9 is less than a half. And yet, the Gemara says the following. And if you want to count up from the bottom of the Amud here on Pei Beis, Amud Beis, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, etc., etc., quoting the Machlokas here between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Krovim Divrayim Lios Shavim. Meaning that the discrepancy between the two, Rabbi Yochanan on the one hand and Rabbi Shimon on the other, is very minor. So Gemara says, "Me dummy, how can you possibly equate the two shitos? The Rabbi Yochanan arba suudasa lekaba. The Rabbi Shimon teisha suudasa lekaba." We said that according to Rabbi Yochanan, a kava, a kav, will get you 4 seudos. Right? Because keep in mind, we said that according to Rabbi Yochanan, 2 seudos equals a half a kav. So then a kav will be twice that amount. 2 times 2 is 4. So from one kav, you can get 4 seudos. From a half a kav, you get 2 seudos. That's Rabbi Yochanan. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Shimon, from one kav, you would get 9 seudos. And therefore, 2 seudos would be 2/9. Now you're comparing a kav of Rabbi Yochanan to a kav of Rabbi Shimon. The kav of Rabbi Yochanan is 4 sudos. The kav of Rabbi Shimon is 9 sudos. That's a very serious discrepancy between 4 to 9. Again, I'm not sure why the Gemara had to couch it in those terms. If I would have written the Gemara, I would have said that Shtei Sudos, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is a half a kav, where Shtei Sudos, according to Rabbi Shimon, is 2/9 of a kav. And obviously Rabbi Shimon requires a lot less than half the amount of a volume of a kikar in order to establish 2 Sudos than Rabbi Yochanan. Instead, the Gemara starts with a kav, and asks, how many sudas can you get out of a kav? Now, I'm going to read the footnote here, but again, I don't think he adds much here, but I'll read it anyway. He says, Kvar nisbayer ba Mishnah, sharei omar shashir shte sudos, hu kikar anikachas befunjon, biarba se'in shalchitim hanimkar besela, Pujonu echad chelke arba'im u'shmona misela. So it's 1/48 of a sela. V'kav hu echad chelke esrim v'arba me'arba se'in. A kav, we said, What does he say? Kav. We said that 4 sa'in equals 24 kavim. One saw is 6 kavim. So what's the ratio between a kav and 4 saw? Right, a kav. Right, maybe we should have gone one step further here in our chart. I'm just going back to what I wrote down here. If one saw is, one second, if kav is 1 over 24, of 4 sa'in. I'm not sure what he means by that. I don't know how to read the Hebrew here, but I think we said that 4 sa'in was 24 kavim. Nimtzosh ha-kikar anikachas v'finjon hi-kikar shal chatzi kav v'kikar zu hi-mozon shtei sudos nimtzosh yeshnon arba sudos b'kav. Okay. Again, except for one ambiguity, which I didn't follow here in his formulation, it's pretty much what we said. And that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Now we get to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that the shear of one su'uda is a shlish of a kikar. Kishayesh sholosh kikros bekav. There are 3 kikros in a kav. So that would mean that for one kav, you could get 9 kikros. And each kikar, let's say, is a suda. So if you add 2 kikros, you'd have mozon shtei sudos, which would be 2/9 of a kav. So Om Rav Chizda is going to try to narrow the gap between Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Shimon. And he's going to claim that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka did not say that the shear of a kikar, which has 2 sudos, is a chatzi kav. That's the way we thought Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka was saying it. And that's wrong, but rather, kikar hanikachas min hachenvoni befunjon bizman she arba soin shel chitim nimkorim besela v'omnom lufi cheshbin zeh amachir shel chatzi kav chitin ufunjon ach zeu amachir sheshileim hachenvoni avur chatzi kav chitim. So that the actual words and formulation of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka are describing what the baker is going to pay for wheat. Now, the baker obviously is going to buy the wheat. Could be somebody else is going to buy the wheat, a middleman, I don't know. But he's going to now put in a tremendous amount of effort to make that wheat into a loaf of bread. Now he's willing to sell that loaf of bread. Kshu mocher kikros lechem, nosaf al mechir zeh, he's going to add to the money that he paid to buy the chitim, the arba sa'in of chitim. Schar hatircha b'tchino v'afir. Okay, all the work that he put in, he talks about grinding and baking. Kach shebesofo shel davar, im boso l'shar kama chitim yesh bekikar hanim keres bepujon, if instead you're going to talk about the amount of chitim that go into the bread that you buy with a fijon, then shlish l'scharo, you're going to have to add 1/3 of the price is going to reflect the work that the baker put in. Nimtza shu mocher bipujon kikar hasuya mishnei shlish of a chatzikav. Meaning, when we say that you buy with a funjon a chatzikav, what we meant was, considering the amount of money that was used to purchase the fourth sign of chitin. But in terms of what you're going to buy, take that same chatzikav, subtract a shlish, and so what are you going to end up with? Just 1 second. Nimtza shu mocher bifunjon kikar hasuya mishnei shlishe chatzikav. In other words, we're going to multiply that half a kav by 2/3, because we're going to subtract that third that he needs for schar tircha, etc. So how much is 2/3 times a half? So let's say one second. Well, how do you multiply 2/3 by a half? If this is correct, I don't know, I'm not sure I'm reading this right, but let's say
2/6 or 1/3.
We're gonna multiply the 3 by 3. Right, the 2/3. We're going to convert it into sixths. So that's going to give us four sixths. Am I right?
We multiply the numerators together, the 2 times the 1, and we multiply the denominators together, the 2 times the 3, and we get 2/6, which is 1/3.
Wait 1 second. I lost you. I converted 2/3 into 4/6. Is that correct? Or is that irrelevant to our discussion?
That's irrelevant.
Irrelevant. Okay. So, what are we multiplying here?
We multiply the top two numbers together for the top, and the bottom two numbers for the bottom.
Okay. So that's going to give us 2/6. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Oh. So that's going to give us 2/6, which is 1/3 of a kav. Okay. In the old days, I would ask you to explain that to me, but now I see what you're doing. You're multiplying the two top numbers and the two bottom numbers. Okay. That's pretty basic. So now, let's compare Rav Yochanan ben Broka, according to Rav Chisda, with Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon, we say, was 2/9. And Rav Yochanan is 1/3. So 1/3 is 3/9. Is that correct? So that the discrepancy now between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon has been reduced to 1/9. I mean, we're moving in the right direction, because 1/9 is a lot better than double, right? So the Gemara says, Akati, I'm still not satisfied. Dilamar tisha ulamar shis. Okay, let's see. First, let's translate the words, and then we'll see if we can make sense out of them. According to Rav Shimon, you're going to get 9 sudos from a kav. According to Rav Yochanan, you get 6 sudos from a kav. How did that happen? In the footnote, he writes, Kfish and his buyer, Hakikar Sheshir Bamazon Shte Sudos, he shlishes Hakav. According to this new interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Mazon Shtei Sudos, we said, is equal to a third of a kav. Which means that if we divide the third by half, in order to get the shear of one single suda, we end up with six suudos for a kav. Right? Mazon Shtei Sudos gives us a third of the kav. That we worked out when we multiplied two-thirds by a half. So that was a third of the kav, and that's Mazon Shtei Sudos. So half of a third of a kav would be, in other words, if I can end up with two sudos from a third of the kav, then each suda, meaning half of that, is a sixth of the kav. So you have one sixth of a kav for one suda, you add another sixth of the kav for another suda, and you get two sudos. Which means that from the kav, you could actually get six suudos. And we already have calculated that according to Rav Shimon, if you add a kav, you can get nine suudos. And the Gemara is using this to emphasize the discrepancy, the distance between the two shitos. But I'll be honest with you, what bothers my mind is, I thought we calculated a difference of 1/9. So again, when we're talking about how much of a quantity and a volume you need for an Eruv, then, unless we made a mistake, our conclusion was that the discrepancy between the two, Rabbi Yochanan and Shimon, is 1/9. But if you're talking about the kav itself, and how many sudas you can get from a kav, then according to Rabbi Yochanan, you can get as much as six sudos from a kav. According to Rabbi Shimon, you can get nine sudas from a kav. Did that make sense to you, what I just said? I mean, show me a finger up or down. I mean,
I'm a little lost. Sorry.
You see, what's confusing us, Don, is that the Gemara is playing a different game than we're playing. You know, we're focused on the Shtei Sudos, and we want to know, bottom line, we want to know, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what is the volume of Shtei Sudos? According to Rabbi Shimon, what is the volume of Shtei Sudos? So we came to the conclusion that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the volume of Shtei Sudos is 2/6 or 1/3 of a kav. Whereas according to Rav Shimon, it's 2/9 of a kav. And when we subtract to determine the discrepancy, we came up with 1/9, meaning that Rav Shimon requires 2/9 of a kav, and Rav Yochanan requires 3/9 of a kav. The Gemara is playing a different game over here. I'm not 100% sure why, but we, you know, I didn't write the script, so, you know, it confuses me a little bit. But the Gemara is asking a different question, and the Gemara is asking how many sudos can I get from a kav. That's how the Gemara demonstrates or illustrates the discrepancy between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon. Now, we're going to try to figure out why the Gemara assumes the following, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you can get six su'udos from a kav, and according to Rabbi Shimon, you can get nine su'udos from a kav. Again, what this requires of us is sort of like to break away from the two su'udos that we were discussing before, and now we're discussing one su'udos, so we're always going to have to half it, you know. So now let's go through it. If according to Rabbi Yochanan, the shear of Shtei Sudos is 1/3 of a kav, then with a full kav, with a full kav, I could buy 6 sudos. Let's work backwards. Let's say I were to tell you that you could take a kav and make 6 sudos out of it. Correct? Then how much would you need to get 2 sudos? It would be 1/3 of 6. Right? 1/3 of 6 is 2/6. So basically, we're saying the same thing in 2 ways. In other words, they're 2 formulations or 2 sentences, but they're identical. One sentence says that mazon shtei sudos, according to Reb Yochanan, is 1/3 of a kav. Initially, we thought it was half a kav, but Rav Chisda saved the day, and we reduced it to 1/3 of a kav. That's the same thing as saying, in other words, that if I had a kav, I would get 6 sudos out of the kav. And if we jump over to Rabbi Shimon, then we're going to say the following, that mazon shtei sudos is 2/9 of a kav. And if you ask me now, how many sudos can I get from a kav? The answer is 9. So the discrepancy now, from the perspective of how many sudos I get from a kav, is that whereas Rabbi Yochanan would get 6 sudos out of a kav, Rabbi Shimon would get 9 sudos out of a kav. And the Gemara is using this to demonstrate the gap between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan. Now, I have 2 questions to ask you. Number 1, is what I said is correct? And number 2, does it help? Those are the 2 questions. But what I'm just saying here is that the confusion here in my mind was that the Gemara is using a different sort of barometer or standard of comparison. In other words, the standard of comparison that I would have been used to would have been how much of a volume is mazon shtei sudos. But the Gemara asks it in a different way: how many sudos can I get from a kav? And the Gemara is illustrating the great gap here between the 2 shitos, whether it's 6 sudas from a kav or 9 sudas from a kav. That is a significant gap. Ela ki'idoch de Rav Chisda. Now Rav Chisda says that instead of calculating the schar tircha of Tchina and Afia as 1/3, let's jack up the number. And this is something, by the way, we could Google, and we could probably figure out in contemporary life how much is the discrepancy between the final product that's sold in a bakery and the raw ingredients that go into the bakery, meaning how much money did the baker or the middleman, whoever it was, pay for the chitim that he used to add water after he grinds the chitim and then he bakes this dough, and how much is the discrepancy to the final charge? And now, according to the second formulation that we're about to learn in Rav Chisda, it's a 50% up markup. I think I got that right. Right, that the baker is now going to mark up his investment, meaning the deficits, the money that came out of his bank account, he's going to mark it up by 50%. He's going to double it. Ela ki idoch de Rav Chisda de Yomar tsemiyem mechza lechenvani. Okay. Now, by doing so, the discrepancy we'll see between what used to be 9 for Rav Shimon from a kav and 6 for Rav Yochanan, we're going to really bridge the gap, and Rav Yochanan is going to end up with 8 seudos from a kav in this new calculation, as opposed to 9 seudos for Rav Shimon. So instead of a discrepancy from 9 down to 6, it's going to be from 9 down to 8. That's the goal of our arithmetic responsibility for today. That's that goal. I'm just giving you where the end zone is. Question is how to get to the Ein Sof. That's a different question. So he says here in the Hebrew, Totzi michatzi kav chitim. Right? The amount of chita that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the volume of chita that it took to produce Mazon Shtei Sudos was chatzi kav chitim. Now, the Chenvani paid a fundion for the chatzi kav chitin. Wait, I'm not sure if what I just said is correct, but let me just see. And now, we're going to have to take out half of that for the schar, meaning for the, you know, the profit margin, which is the same as the tircha, you know, the amount that he put in. Again, you might add another, you know, what do you call it, profit margin on top of that. But now, let's just assume for argument's sake that the profit margin is another way of saying the tircha that he put in. Because he wants to get a salary, he wants to get money for the tircha. Nimtza, shemocher befunjon, kikar hasuya mi reva kav chitim. It's now one quarter of a kav, right? Because until now we said it was a half a kav. Half of a half of a kav is one quarter of a kav. Now, if one quarter of a kav is going to get me mazon shtei sudos, then a kav would get me eight sudos. Let me just say that one more time and convince myself. Right? If you started with a kav and you ended up with eight su'udos, then two su'udos is one quarter of a kav. So again, I'm saying the same thing in two identical formulations. I can either say to you that mazon shtei su'udos is a quarter of a kav, or I could say to you that if I had a kav, I could buy eight su'udos. Now, we said that according to Reb Shimon, for a kav, you could buy nine su'udos. So we've really whittled down the discrepancy from 9 to 8 for a kav, which is only 1/9. So the Gemara says, Vakati, I still see a discrepancy here you cannot equate the two. Lemar, according to Shimon, Tesha, you could buy Tesha sudos from a kav, or produce Tesha sudos from a kav. Ulemar, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Timne. You end up with only eight sudos from a kav. So the Gemara says, well, let's go back to the original Brisa. The Brisa says, V'hainu deka omar, ukrovim divrayem lios shavim. The Gemara is satisfied with a discrepancy of 1/9 to justify the language of the Brisa that they're shoving, even though they're not really shoving, but they're close enough to be shoving. But now the Gemara turns around and says, Kasha de Rav Chisda, ad Rav Chisda. We had two statements of Rav Chisda that seem to contradict each other. The first one, he said that let's subtract a shlish. In other words, we're going to have to add 1/3 to the purchase price of the chitim in order to arrive at the price sale, the sale price of the baked bread. In the second brisa, we said that it's as large as 50%. Lo kasha, hodeko yoiv balabayis tzive, hodelo yoiv balabayis tzive. Again, this is foreign to our culture, but back in the day, when you walked into the bake shop to make an order of a loaf of bread, you could do it in one of two ways. You could either chip in for the raw materials, which we'll see in a minute what the chip-in was, or you could say to the baker, just tell me, bottom line, how much it would cost me for a loaf of bread. I'm not chipping in for anything. So in the first method of chipping in, what they did was, one of the most expensive ingredients in producing a loaf of bread was the fuel. And tzive is another way of saying eitzim. Eitzim means fuel, meaning logs of wood to keep the fire going. You know, they didn't have electric ovens over there, so their ovens were kept up, heated up by fire. Fire is expensive because you have to cut down the trees, and trees cost money, and log could turn them into logs, etc., etc., transport them, blah, blah, blah. So I come into your bake shop, and I say, here are the logs. This is what you need to produce a fire, and then bake me a loaf of bread. So that's going to subtract a certain... So now we have to figure out what's the difference between half and a third. Let me just see. Right? Half and a third. So that's going to be 1/6. Is that correct? In other words, 1/6 of the final sale price of the baked goods is the price of the Eitzim to keep the fire going. So the discrepancy between the two statements of Rav Chisda is 1/6. In one case, he has a wider discrepancy because the guy came into the bake shop and he just simply ordered whatever he ordered, a loaf of bread. In the other case, he has a discrepancy of only a third because that extra sixth was covered by the buyer when he put down the logs on the table. Again, this is all the sociology of the time of the Gemara. You know, we don't relate to this. You know, did I come in with, you know, order you a loaf of bread, or did I pay for the Eitzim and I put the bag of Eitzim on the table? That's all foreign to us. But that's irrelevant. You know, we just want to get the concepts. So let me take a break for a moment and ask, because Steve, you're the expert mathematician, what I said was correct, I mean, in your opinion, or did I make any boo-boos?
No, I like the way you said it.
You like the way I said it. Okay, so we don't have much time, but I always like to try to at least get a little taste of the next sugya. And to be honest with you, if I was perplexed by this sugya that we somehow miraculously survived today, I'm even more challenged by the next sugya, because the arithmetic keeps going on and on. Anyway, so the Mishnah tells us that this machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon is relevant to two different additional areas beyond Erevin and Mazon Shtei Sudos, and these two areas relate to Tumah V'Tara, to Taros. The Gemara is going to actually introduce a brisa with a third nafkamina, a third application of this machlokes in Tumah V'Tara. But the two applications are, number one, how long does a person who enters into a base menuga have to tarry in order for the begadim that he's wearing on his body to be makabel Tumah? And that's going to be dependent on the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Shimon. And another area of Tumah V'Tara is what we call Achilas Ochlin Tmein. That a person who eats Ochel that was contaminated by Tumah, he himself becomes a Posel L'Truma. And if he touches Truma, he passels the Truma. How large of a volume of Ochel Tomei did he eat? He consumed this same amount, which divides up into the two shitos of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon. And here we turn to Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. The last line on Pei Beis Amud Beis is just a quote from our Mishnah: Chetzil lebeis hamenuga v'chatzil chetzil lifsol es hagvir. That when it comes to a beis hamenuga and we're defining how long of a delay he tarried inside the Beis HaMenuga in order for his kelim, his begadim that he's wearing to contract tumas tzaras. Here we're talking about half of the shear of Mazon Shtei Sudos. In the case of Ochlin, we're going to be even more machbir, and we're going to take that half and divide it again by a half. So it's going to be a half of a half of Mazon Shtei Sudos. Tano, we learned in a brisa. Now we're on the top of Pei Gimel. Vechatzi chatzi chetzio. This is the third din. which the Braisa adds to our Mishnah. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask, why didn't our Mishnah mention this? And that's Letami Tumas Ochlin, which means the following, that in the case of Ochel, that you've got to have a certain minimum size of an Ochel, a volume of foodstuff, for it to be Makabel Tumah. Again, it has to also be subject to liquids, one of the seven makshirim. But what's the actual volume of the food in order for it to qualify for Kabolas Tumas Ochlin? And the answer is going to be a kibetza. And this is the point in the sugya where we have to take all of our discussions about a kav and translate the kav into beitzen. And the Braisa says the following, Letame Tumas Ochlin. So we're going to talk about Chatzi Chatzi Chetzia, which means that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, if you don't mind, Steve, can I ask you to mute? So according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, it's going to be 3/4 of a beitza, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it's going to be a full beitza. And this is the sheet of Rashi and Tosfos in the sugya. And this is all based on the fact that the Gemara that we learned on Daf Pei Beis interprets Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka as saying that the shear of a kikar is a reva kav. Do you remember that we reduced the shear of a kikar to 1/4 of a kav? Now, 1/4 of a kav, again, we're going to divide this by chetzi and another time by chetzi, but first let's get the 1/4 of a kav in the original of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. 1/4 of a kav is equal to 6 beitzim. So now we have to get back to our tables here. And the following, a kav is equal to 24 beitzim. Okay, let's write this down. A kav equals 24 beitzim. Therefore, 1/4 of a kav is equal to 6 beitzim. Right? Because 1/4, if you divide 24 into 4, 6 times 4 is 24. So 1/4 of a kav equals 6 beitzim. Now, we're going to take this 6 beitzim, which is 1/4 of a kav, divide it in half, and then a second time in half. So that means the following. A chatzi kikar, which is the shear of beis hamenuga, that's chatzi. So then we're going to take 6 beitzim, and we're going to end up with 3 beitzim. All right, now we have the case of someone who ate ochel tamei. That was a chetzi chetzia. So then we're going to take 3 beitzim and divide that in half. We're going to end up with 1.5 beitzim. Now we're going to take that 1.5 beitzim and divide that in half for the shear of tumas ochlin, which is chetzi chetzi chetzia. And that's going to be 3/4 of a beitza, because if you multiply 3/4 by 2, you end up with 1.5. So again, the bottom line is that the shear of Ochlin, to be Makabel Tumah, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is 3/4 of a beitza. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, said that a kikar was equivalent to a shlish of a kav. Now, if a kav equals 24 beitzim, then 1/3 of a kav would be 8 beitzim, correct? Because 3 times 8 is 24. Now we're going to take the 3 beitzim, and we're going to again divide it in half. Correct? Just one second. I'm sorry. I made one mistake. I have to... Okay. Again, the kikar is a shlish of a kav. And a shlish of a kav, we said, was 8 beitzim, because 8 times 3 is 24. A kav equals 24 beitzim. So a third of a kav is 8 beitzim. Now divide that in half, and you get 4 beitzim. Divide it again in half, and you get 2 beitzim. Now we're going to take the 2 beitzim and divide it in half, because it's a half, and a half, and we end up with 1 beitzim. So the shear of Tumas Ochlin, according to Rabbi Yochanan, was 3/4 of a beitzah, and according to Rabbi Shimon, is half of a beitzah. So the Gemara immediately asks, and with this we'll conclude for today, V'tana didan my tamalotani Tumas Ochlin. If the Tana is calculating all of the implications of, repercussions of the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon, why does it stop after Beis HaMenuga and Gvia? It should have also included this third nafkamina, which is pointed out by the Brice of Tumas Ochlin. And the Gemara answers, Mishum Delo Shavu Shirayu Lahadoti, which means that the Shirim are not exactly the same. In other words, the Shir of Tumas Ochlin is not exactly a half of the Shir of the Psul of Gvia. And therefore, we're not going to end up exactly with a discrepancy of one reva. So that's what I want to pick up tomorrow, because that's an additional mathematical calculation which depends upon something called a chatzi pras. So let's just make a note of where we got up to for today. We are up to Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. And we're almost up to the third line down from the top.